The Daily Talk Show, Josh and Tommy. Every time we say that, we're trying to say it without sounding like we're some
anchor.
You said
this last time.
Did I?
I said it last time.
Okay, well, I'll never say that again. Welcome back.
Yes.
Another episode.
It's Friday the 26th, public holiday.
Hot as shit where we are, and yep. We're up to episode 9, so we're doing well.
Yeah, because we started on a Tuesday.
It's very dead out there. Like, there's no one around.
Mm.
I went out for breakfast earlier.
Where'd you go?
What was it called? Breakfast Thieves. And oh, yeah. I got in a situation.
What happened?
And I felt myself overpower this person who was working there. And then I realised I probably shouldn't have gone that hard. It's the split bill thing.
Oh.
All right, so I was
you know how much I fucking hate this.
I was with two mates. I wanted to pay for my thing. The other guys were going to pay together.
Yeah.
And so it was really just doing two transactions. Mm-hmm. I only wanted to pay $17.
Yeah.
And she said, nah, there's no split bill. I said, oh, well, we don't have cash, so I'm afraid you're going to have to do it. And she's like, oh, well, we do. And I said, well, look, I'm just paying for this, so that's $17.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, but I said, well, here's my card. And I just kind of facilitated it, and she was so awkward about it, and I got her there. And I paid for my $17, and it wasn't that hard and didn't need her to put up that front.
Why do... Like, I don't think that there's any reason to do that.
Well, there's another place, Pavlov's Duck. These are all in Collingwood. Mm-hmm. And my mate blew up, didn't go back for a year to this joint, went back a year later. They split bills. We split bills was a sign.
Really? It is just... Yeah, maybe some systems make it hard. Cheerio was fucking great that we went to in Richmond today, this morning. No problem at all. Theirs is like the what's a system where you're being the honesty system. Yeah, honesty policy.
We just had the producer from the bedroom, Josh's housemate, otherwise known as his girlfriend.
The honesty. What was it, Bree? On honesty policy.
What's an honesty policy?
It's literally like you go up at the end and tell them what you had.
Okay.
Yeah. So the honesty, I guess, could be you could say you could not tell them that you had bacon.
And
when
so
you
when
did.
They come out of it, or when they take your order, what do they do?
They put it down to obviously organize.
They write
kitchen.
It on paper.
Do they write it down? Ah, oh, fuck, who cares? It's a boring story.
But it's a weird process. Like. Yeah. Do they sell it as the honesty system? Maybe that's the whole thing. It's like wrapped in this. We do this system that's like really honest, but really they're fucking keeping track of this shit.
Yeah. And I'm sure they are. Like, it's just a big social experiment.
Oh, that's just fraught with annoyance. Yeah. Have you worked in cafes?
Never.
I've worked in cafes. And it's
all
down to
Did you ever do that in Sydney?
Bondi Beach.
Really?
I felt like it was... Because I've always had like a profession. I mean, it's never... Working in a cafe wasn't my... goal I hadn't done training to do it.
Sure.
Like I did for my personal training course, became a PT, had a studio. So the whole thing was it was an ego bash for me. I was like, I wouldn't do this in my hometown because I'd feel like if someone saw me there.
And because everyone knows you as well. But shame in it.
I know there's not, but for some reason, and I don't think like this as much now.
Yeah, sure.
I felt like that then for me because I'd come out of a job and then I was working on radio and then I'm now working in a cafe. That's how I saw it.
I guess you could go one of two ways. You either go really, do a really good job of your job, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or you say, fuck, this is all below me and you get a bit shitty. Where did you sit?
I definitely didn't think it was below me. When I was in terms of doing the actual job.
Oh, so, but yeah, probably the wrong use of words. Were you good or did you put in a lot of effort?
I think I was good. I think I did what was required.
Uh-huh.
And it's amazing that in those, I mean, it's not, there's a bit of pressure in some of those roles, but a lot of the time you're making toasted sandwiches and stuff. And there's still all the elements of work, you know, when you work in a big business that's like high.
What cafe was it?
My point of saying this is there's all the same elements of working in a big business. Pressure, like people trying to micromanage you, people trying to manage the way you cut a piece of cheese.
We were talking about this the other day when I bought my camera about camera shops.
The people
that the people that work at them.
And that's another thing. So the people that are attracted to working in cafes and stuff for extended periods of time, they're of a certain type.
Yeah.
And so are the camera shop people.
Yeah, the camera shop, like you've got the frustrated creative, you've got the tech geeky one, you've got the student just trying to, you know, have a job and seeing them. And you have all different levels of ages too in that realm. And you can just tell that it doesn't always mix.
Mate, I was the personal trainer. You describe a PT. That was me. Like I fit into one of those categories. Yeah.
What was your personality?
Describe a personal trainer. Because you didn't know me when I was a personal trainer.
Yeah, a bit cocky. A bit loud alpha. Anything's possible if you put your fucking mind to it. A bit of a positive punk that you just want to punch in the face.
That's probably me.
Yeah. Is that what you're like?
I don't think I was cocky.
Or not even cocky, just...
I know, it's weird. The positive punk that you want to punch in the face is a great explanation for a personal trainer.
It's true. Because the thing is, any time that you're paying anyone for anything, which is a very hard way to live your life, because I just feel I get a bit funny. Because I'm like, look, the reality is that you're doing this because I'm paying you and you're saying the things that will hopefully retain me as a customer.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of those, and there's some that are really passionate about actually helping people, and they're few and far between. But I was definitely young, you had to mix the business with it as well. So you kind of, and then you're getting pissed on the weekend, so you're totally out of alignment with the product you're selling. I sell health, but then I disregard my health a lot of the time, and I think, I'm glad I'm not in the industry because I like drinking beer on the weekend.
It's gotten pretty big as well.
The PT industry.
Yeah.
I did my course when I was 17.
What organization did you do it?
Australian Institute of Fitness. They kind of went out and have come back in. I don't know if they went anywhere, but maybe just more crowded the space.
Yeah.
But I heard an ad recently.
They do ads and stuff.
And so I heard an ad on the radio as a kid, and I called up. I was working for my old man, and then I was like, I need to do something else.
What does your dad do again?
Landscaper.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And so I called up and I was like, you can do a course at 17.
Uh-huh.
So I did it, not knowing anything about the industry.
And doing the course from start to finish.
8 weeks.
How much do you actually know by the end?
Fuck all.
Really, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. I always said, like I've mentioned, my mum's a yoga teacher, and she's had a problem with these quick courses and stuff.
Yeah.
But
which I did.
But you get your core, you get your degree,
and then you develop.
And then you can get the hands-on knowledge, which is what I did. I started in
the
gym
floor.
Then
who were the fucking but the problem is that there's collateral damage because when you're learning, it's like saying, you know, you do this really short course and you become a driver, you're not really good yet, but you'll get there and you're a fucking taxi driver and you're putting everyone else at risk.
I guess it's the same. But hey, I've got my boat license and I can drive a boat that is huge, like 40 meters long or maybe even more. I can drive almost something that looks
not
like
that
a cruise liner and I have no idea.
Could you drive the Spirit of Tassie sidewise?
I don't think so. I think there is a limit.
That would be a limit.
But you can't drive commercial vessels.
Of course.
My point is,
you can pay
and do the course, and you have this.
Oh man, there's
ability. Courses
to do everything, right? There's I have a completely change of topic, which I just thought of. Best birthday party you've ever had, ever.
I've got,
as a kid, like which one sticks into your mind?
Oh man, I did everything from the go-kart party. I was pretty spoiled, I think, in that way. Like my mum and dad really allowed
me to do that.
So jumping castle, grade 7. Indoor volleyball.
Year 7
on sand.
Doing it. I feel like you would have been too cool for a jumping castle.
Sorry, did I say year 7?
Grade 7.
I meant 7.
Oh, 7.
7 years old. Have I told you the story about the magician?
No.
I had a magician to my maybe 8th.
Yeah.
Mate, I want to find this guy's name and I want to confront him.
What happened? What did he do?
He brought the rabbit. He brought all these tricks and knickknacks. Uh-huh. And he got me up in front of everyone. And he was doing this like wand. And he'd give me the wand and it would fall, like it'd fall apart really wonky. And that was the trick. It's like, oh, when he has it, the wand goes hard. And when I have it, it's limp. This is all a bit sus. It sounds so weird. But he gave it to me. I grabbed it. I pressed the end of it. It went hard.
What are we talking about again?
The magician's wand. That sounds so fucked up. But it was one of those things. You press the end of the wand and it... But here's the thing. So I fooled him and I worked out how to do his little magic trick. And he grabbed my hand so hard.
Ow.
And he squeezed. I'm squeezing Josh's hand right now.
Oh, he's doing
it. He squeezed my hand. He said, don't you ever fucking do that. No, maybe not said fuck. He said, don't you do that again. And I was so distraught.
You would be.
What a punk.
But, no, you're a punk too. Because he was probably like the thing is that if you were the same age, you would have out-alphed him. Like, you would have been mean to him. So he was sort of, the only thing that he had was that he was 35 and you were 8. But the, we actually had jumping castles in year 12 as like a going away. Did you, what was your muck up? Oh,
I didn't finish school, mate.
Sorry to bring it up. Did you go to the muck up, anyone else's muck up day?
No.
You weren't like a toolie type of deal?
No, I was working.
Well, yeah. You would have, man, you've been working
making
for a long
money.
Time. Making coin. The it's the reason you can have breakfast in the morning. The jumping castle at muck up day, they to be, you need basically adult, like ones that can work with adults, right? Because it's like
you're heavy.
You're heavy and all that sort of thing.
Not. Yeah.
The thing is that the only jumping castles for adults that they had at the place they rented from had big cocks on them, like inflated cocks. So they actually, if you looked on the side, you could see that they had like roped the cock down so you couldn't see it.
What was it? And obviously it was discounted?
No, well, you would think so. But yeah, I thought that was really funny as a last.
I went to a friend's 18th birthday party at this club. And I knew what the club was, and most people there didn't know what the club was.
What was it? Where was it? What sort of
it's on? It's on St Kilda Road, Nepean Highway, and it's like a big silver building, and dark windows. Looks like a nightclub.
Yeah,
it's a sex club.
Really?
It's like a swingers leather BDSM.
Like how you say leather
BDSM. So, like, here's the thing. My friend's parents knew the owners of the club.
Really?
And
could you tell? Did it have a smell?
Well, my brother had told me about it growing up.
What's the age difference between you and your brother?
4 and 8, between middle and older, eldest.
Wait, so 8 years difference and older?
In the older. So, he told me because his mate went there.
Yeah.
And I could. He told me details about what goes on in there. So I knew all this stuff as a kid.
You'd really look around, wouldn't you?
And I went in and I asked one of the bouncers in there. I was like, oh, so what's this place normally? Just prodding a bit. Oh,
he,
it's just
he
a club.
Grabbed you and he said, you know, and it was the magician.
I touched his wand. No, but on the wall were like obviously frames that were hung up. That had been taken down. So there's like things where you could tell
like
that there was meant to be lots of images on the wall. And I could imagine what the images were.
How, what has been the biggest shock going from being a young adult to an adult? Like, what has shocked you the most about adulthood?
Having to pay GST.
Like, as in your BAS and all that sort of shit. Like, doing it as a company.
Fuck that.
Sort of annoying. Yeah, tax is interesting, isn't it? You don't really think about tax much as a kid.
Nah. I mean, admittedly, I was into it because I had to be, because I had my own business from really young.
Yeah.
And so...
But when you're young versus now is such a different game, right? Like, when you're young, I was just the loosest unit going around. Just like had no idea. I had no sense of what it all meant. And I still feel like I'm only scratching the surface.
Yeah. Well, and I remember doing it all on paper. Now there's programs, like the evolution of technology has made it simpler I think. Like, I couldn't be fucked writing out and going through receipt books and looking
surely
at numbers.
Surely we're going to get to a point where we just don't need receipts at all, that it's all like, you think if you're doing a fucking credit card purchase, surely they can attach that receipt to it.
Mm.
Like, why even have a receipt?
I know. Well, if you've made the purchase into your credit card or your account, there is a transaction record. Yeah. So technically you shouldn't need to keep anything. Yeah. But then
you need to have a receipt though, right? I keep receipt for all that shit.
I take photos of everything now and then throw them out.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, I just turned on Apple Pay, like with ING for my iPhone.
And you're loving it, or what's the...
Yeah, it's amazing. Like
Watch, I still get people, like when I use the Apple Watch, I always get smart ass comments. And I just say, yeah, it's the future's now.
So you press one button.
Yeah.
Turns on your...
I press a double tap. Yeah.
And now you can pay.
And now I can pay.
So it's got a little photo. It's got a little image of your card. Yeah. Does it say your number there? Can you see it?
You see like the last four digits, I'm guessing. Yeah.
And then you just hold your watch on the thing.
Yeah.
And...
But what I was thinking is it's like that novelty would have existed with just other currencies, right? Like when they went from coins to having notes.
Was there only coins? That sounds dumb of me. But was there only that was just...
Maybe I'm wrong. But I would have assumed that like it would have started with gold and silver and shit. And then they would have been like, oh, fuck it. Let's have paper which references that. Yeah.
And so there would have been people going, what do you got there? Like the fascination.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you get a first $10, like the new $10 note.
Yeah.
I
was fascinated when you first did it.
Yeah. It feels like, I feel like a wanker when I do it. But I remember...
You clear the floor, you stand back, everybody.
I do make a big deal. The annoying thing is doing it in drive-thru. You nearly dislocate your fucking arm trying to reach.
Have you taken off your watch yet to reach over to do it?
I haven't. When I was buying something the other day, I used a card that I never use. I didn't have the PIN. And how quickly do you can you get into a hot sweats quickly? Like, do you ever get into a point where
flustered?
It's like, I feel this. I feel like that I get it in a big way.
What if you were in the queue and then you...
Like, so I was there. I'd been like going back and forth on price and trying to squeeze, which I hadn't done for such a long time, but it was a decent sized purchase. So I wanted to get the best price. And it came to pay and I hadn't used the card in like forever. And I put in the thing and said, oh, sorry, that PIN wasn't right. I'm like, oh, okay. And then you just like
what were you worried? What's going through your head?
Well, I'm just like, if I can't, after all of that, if I can't walk away with the camera, I'm going to be so pissed. And I just felt that it's the same feeling as you're on the plane going overseas and you realize you forgot to call the bank, which you were talking about yesterday.
It's, I mean, you have a bit of leeway, but like that's constructing your head about that.
Yeah.
Or because you could have got it somehow, called somebody, gone to the bank.
It worked out. It worked, but it was with Citibank, and they don't have fucking banks around.
Online banks.
Yeah, but what was the amount? Oh, actually, here's one. How much did your parents spend on you as a kid for like for birthdays, Christmases?
I can't remember because it would have changed. Like, remember $50. 10 years ago, it was 20 years ago, it was a lot different than now.
What did your parents teach you about money? What was their relationship with money? How did they speak about it?
I think they had a good relationship, but the honest thing is I can't remember. Maybe, and so that might mean that we weren't having
a conversation. You were a bit sort of shaded by it,
I always, like, my mom used to help me with my tax stuff, and so she had an understanding. My dad knew numbers. He, you know, I used to watch him quoting jobs and using like this big...
It's almost like a receipt,
It looks like a receipt machine with a calculator. And so it's spitting out the equations.
Wow.
And he would do that to quote jobs. Because I'm sure...
Was it residential or commercial landscaping?
Everything.
Yeah.
But, you know...
So he knows a lot about plants?
He's a genius. Really? Plants.
You don't really have many plants at your house, do you?
My parents' place. Like my family home, fuck that... that garden.
So he would be able
sick.
To tell us a bit about plants. Can he get good prices on plants? I'm getting
well,
a bit.
You can get wholesale. I think. On some stuff.
Indoor
but like,
plants?
But
anyway.
Indoor plants.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. There's so many competing wholesale warehouses now that...
They just rock up.
Wholesale warehouse. What the fuck? It's not wholesale. Like, it's for everybody then.
Yeah.
So it's like a selling point. It's the same with discount clothes warehouses. It's just they're selling clothes.
Yeah, it's always... I find that the saddest sale I've ever been to was the Dick Smith sale. Because they literally
they
had
into,
liquidation, yeah, administration or whatever. They had
the saddest.
It was they didn't have. They weren't wearing uniforms. And it probably was like temp staff that just came in that was sort of part of the administrators to come in and sort it all out, or hired through them. But they were just selling everything. Like they were selling the security beepers at the front. They had prices on them.
No.
The shelves.
Wait, which one was this?
This was this would have been Hawthorne. And I was just like, oh, like I went in there to actually find if they had something, right? Like, oh, have you got, I'm looking for this cable. And they literally just had like old iPhone cases and like bits of like shelving and shit. Like it was really sad.
Shit. How long was the sale on for? Like,
I don't know. I would have gotten the tail end. It was probably like the last day. Oh, that was the other thing.
Got the most depressing.
No, how about this? No lights on. It was dark. No, it was fucking dark. I swear, it was dark. I don't know like what the deal was, but I think they had like a temp light up that they must have like patched out, but...
They'd been cut off. Power was gone. They were feeding
Well, I guess they're like,
door.
Okay, we need to do this at the cheapest thing possible.
It would be sad. Sad time for a business.
Yeah.
Did you know Dick Smith was selling, what was it, cheese?
Really?
I'm pretty sure at one point.
At the at Dick Smith Electronics or just Dick Smith?
Yeah, Dick Cheese. That was
that's what you're doing. Yeah, he's done
honestly
everything.
Think they did, what they, Dickheads?
Well, so that was Dick, so the thing is Dick Smith, I think, sold that whole Dick Smith Electronics brand years ago. Mm. And so then he'd been into all the Australian-made shit, like the Australian-made Tim Tams.
Mm, oh, that's right. Their peanut butter's pretty good. I still get that.
Man, why don't we have peanut butter, like chocolate and peanut butter as a real thing in Australia? Like,
what do you mean?
In the States, it's like so common that if anywhere you go, you can get chocolate and peanut butter together.
Yeah, and then and jelly. So
the
chocolate.
Yeah, that as well, like peanut butter and jelly, but... Peanut butter and chocolate. Like, why in Australia don't we have peanut butter M&Ms?
That is a good point.
Do you know I tried to, I went through this stage of really craving Pop-Tarts. Had never had them before.
At what age?
22.
Your mum was what? Just depriving you of...
No, well, I just never... I couldn't... Yeah, I don't know why. Like, there was just never a thing, right? But the thing is... I contacted USA Foods, which is near Harp's office, and they said, "Oh, you can't. We can't import them because there was cow hide that's used in the product, like the gelatiny type stuff." So I went on this big thing. I'm like, I don't know if that's right. So I was like calling like customs, like I was doing all of this research to go to them. Like, you guys are wrong. You can get them. And I remember I found a. There's a place in Melbourne Central who must have been just importing them illegally or Yola. They just didn't give a shit. And I had them and it was just such a disappointment.
What ones?
I can't remember which one, but they sat in the... They just sat in our cupboard. Just didn't...
Mate, I was obsessed with them. You know you can buy them in the supermarket now.
In the
Coles,
Australian one?
Coles supermarket.
Really?
In the fucking aisle where the cereal is. You can buy like 3 or 4 or 5 different varieties.
I just
but
don't
they
like
don't sell the marshmallow ones. And
the thing is, that because that's all the shit that's like cancerous or whatever. That's an interesting thing about California. All the everything's going to fucking cause you cancer and they have to put it on all those signs. You know, like you go
I
into
seen
a,
that.
If you go to a bar, it will say this this venue has carcinogenic material, blah, blah, blah. Same at Disneyland and shit. They've got these signs
really?
Everywhere. It's like regular. And so if you've got alcohol, there's some studies that say that there's they cause.
There's a real cancer thing with Disneyland. I met a guy who just recently who has a bunch of young kids, and he goes to Disneyland without doubt every single year. It's a thing that he's like, he got excited telling me about it. This was a grown man, and he's getting excited.
I know
about
people that are, I've got some American friends who they live in San Diego, and they have a annual pass. And they just go up and they've got the fucking custom ears and shit with their name on it, which is fine.
You've
and
they're been? Like, seriously, I haven't been.
I've been, yeah. I've done Disney World, Disneyland. And Brie was really into theme parks. And it wasn't until our last Disney World, probably 2 years ago, where I was just like, this is so fucked. And Brie's like, yeah, it was. And the annoying thing was, like, we could have gone to fucking Cuba. Awesome experience. No, not many people had sort of like it hadn't opened up to the US at that point. Yeah. Could have done that. Instead, we would have spent like over $1,500 on tickets for all the different like theme parks.
Oh, I guess it's a memory. Tell me about the smell.
Yeah, being punched in the face is a memory as well. they have like specific smell that they'll pump throughout the place.
What is it?
It smells like I think it's similar. I think they have this as well, but this is like the main smell that I sort of remember. You know those like sugary nuts that you can get in New York or whatever.
Cooking, they're like cooking in vats of like big like deep pans or something.
Yeah,
like wok almost, like that. And they're roasting up with sugar on top.
Yeah, that smells good. Yeah. But it's just Disney World, Disneyland, like all the worst people are there. But you do have the one bit where it's like you see people who are sick, who it's like, this is there. But my thing is, the last place, if I'm in a fucking wheelchair and I'm sick, the last thing, and maybe that's my privilege, right? The last thing I want though is to fucking have all these annoying fuckers around me and waiting in line for shit. But, you know, if it's magical for some people and that's like their wish, then that's great.
Yeah. I think if you've never done a theme park, go.
Doing anything once is worthwhile. Yeah. Going, like, there's no point even listening to me. Like, go to Disney World, go to Disneyland and have that experience. You might decide that you love it. But for me, roller coasters and all that sort of shit, like, The standard roller coasters are fine, but the ones where there's more motion to it, it's like I'm literally like going on a ride trying not to vomit for a few minutes.
Are you one of those dudes that would vomit on a ride?
I've never vomited, but I've felt really sick.
Do you get seasick?
Yes, really bad. Shit. I vomited all the way to Tassie. This was
really?
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to go on boats while you're overseas?
Yeah, we'll just take Travacarm. But the thing is, you don't take the fucking all natural ginger one. It's bullshit. It's not doing shit for you. It's like, that is the definition of a placebo that doesn't fucking work. Yeah. Like if you take ginger and you don't get seasick, you don't fucking get seasick. Because like, and even mum said, I remember when I was getting, Brie and I recently went to Perth and we were going to, what's the island?
Rottnest
yeah. Island. And, I said, oh, I'll just get these ones. And Brie said, you know, they're ginger. I'm like, oh, that'll be fine. And Brie's like, your mum wouldn't agree. I think that she, and sure enough, mum's right. It was, we were like, Brie and I were both like sitting on the boat, chewing them, like doing that, those like breaths that you do when you like try not to vomit. Like,
was your mouth watering?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you feel it. Anyway, there's another episode of the Daily Talk Show.
It's hot. I'm getting sweaty. We need to turn the aircon on.
But what are you thinking of the format? Like, let's just have a quick retro. Do you
just
think that this one worked okay?
Yeah.
It wasn't too boring, was it? It was like, I feel quite low energy today, maybe. Do you? But I think there was some interesting stuff there.
I think the discovery of a conversation is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Is where does it go? Where did we start?
I can't even remember.
That's the thing. You're 30 minutes in and you forget everything you've just spoken of. Yeah, we talked about my birthday.
Oh, yeah. The magic wand.
touching the end of the wand.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
Anyway, subscribe to the podcast, thedailytalkshow.com.
And we're both on YouTube, tommy'syoutube.com/tommyjacket.
/Josh Jansen.
And thedailytalkshow.com for all the previous episodes. And we're on Instagram with the same name. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
See you next episode, number 10 coming up.
Happy Friday.